trying to sell them something that they didn't need. They targeted people that had a credit history, that they had a lot of debt. And because they had a lot of debt, they called up those people and say, hey, why don't you go ahead and transfer this over? And honestly, it's really not that bad of an idea to take the $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 that people are in debt and try to transfer and have 0% interest if you can pay it all the way down. But like I said, most of the people that are in that credit card debt for a reason is because they can't control their spending. Not always, but normally. And I was trying to sell them something they didn't need. As a believer, when he says go out into all the world, you're not trying to sell anybody anything. Number one, because it's a free gift. And number two, you're not trying to give them something they don't need, because you know what? We all need it. So this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 3. We are just going to look at verses 16 through 18, and we're going to have this thought: Jesus, a friend to all. There is not somebody wrong that you can introduce Jesus to. You say, well, what if they already know him? Then they're going to be excited about the fact that you're telling people about Jesus Christ. Brother Jim was my door-to-door partner visitation yesterday, and we were knocking on doors, and one of the first doors we came to, maybe the first one, the guy was a pastor somewhere in the area, and he wasn't upset because we were telling people about Jesus. He says, what you're doing is biblical. I says, I know, that's why we're doing it. And he said, I think it's a good thing. So he even said, encouraged us all along the way. He was thankful that we were doing it. So if you go up to somebody and talk to them about Jesus and they already know him, it's just a good time to fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ. You cannot tell the wrong person about Jesus. Let's look at these famous verses here. John 3:16. Let's read this one all together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you see the word the world. You know what that means? He loved the world. I don't think it's really talking about the earth itself. It's talking about the people inside the world. And so what he's saying is that he loves people. And verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says the reason why Jesus came into the world was not to condemn them, but to save them. They're condemned already, as it says in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's look for a few minutes at this thought. Jesus, a friend to all. The first point is, the reason why Jesus is a friend to all is because he loves everyone. That's when he says that the Bible says here, for God so loved the world. And there's another spot in the Bible that says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That idea of any, he's not interested in anybody perishing, as it talks about in the passages of Scripture, being lost in your sins, dying, going to hell. He's interested that all will come to repentance. All will have a change of mind. All will have a change of heart and understand that there is that we are sinners, and that there is a God in heaven, and that someday God will judge us based off of what we've done with his Son. And because of that, we must learn to turn from the way we think about how we're going to get to heaven. We're not going to get there on our own works. We're not going to get there based off of the fact mom or dad was saved. We're not going to get there off any other way than what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He loves everyone, and he's proved it in his word. He was only here for three and a half short years in this world, but there were so many people he touched. I'm sorry, 33 years, but in his ministry that we know of, the 3 to 3.5 years that he was there, he ministered to so many different people, and he touched so many different types of people. And these people many times were like, well, how could you be a friend to that person? How could you be a friend to that type of person or to that type of individual? And there was criticalness. Jesus is a friend to all. Let's look here. The first thing I want you to think about is the story about Nicodemus. You go to the same chapter in verse number 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. So the first thing I want you to think about, the different people that are not very easy to love, the ones that Jesus loved and demonstrated that he loved all, was Nicodemus. So what was wrong with Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, the Pharisees gave Jesus the hardest time. They followed him not because they wanted to worship him. They followed him to try to trap him, to trick him. And Jesus knew what was going to happen in his life. Jesus knew that the Pharisees were going to be the part of the group that hung him on the tree. If we knew someone was going to treat us wrong in the future, we probably wouldn't want anything to do with them. We probably, if they came to us about the gospel, he says, oh, you're a lost cause. No one cares about you. No one loves you. You know, all those different things. We wouldn't have anything to do with them. But Jesus looks at Nicodemus, and when he's called a Pharisee, he means he's a man. He's not even just a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He was an exalted Pharisee. He did all these different things to try to show that he was in good grace with God. He did all these things to try to show off and try to do those things that would please God, but never really truly knew God at that point in time. Jesus looked at this man who did all these fastings and did all this teaching and did all these different rules and all these different guidelines and knew so much of the Pentateuch and knew all these different things. And he looked at him, he says, "You must be born again." He says, all those other stuff, that's not going to save you. All those other things in man's eyes might lift you up to be a Pharisee, may lift you up to be a ruler amongst the people. He says, but that's not going to save you. He said, you must be born again. But right in the middle, you got that at the beginning of John chapter 3. And then you go over to John chapter number 4. You can go ahead and take your Bible there. You see the story about the woman at the well. Right in the middle, you got John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I love that thought. There is a religious man that is lost and dying and going to hell that Jesus looks at and says, ye must be born again. Everybody would think that's somebody that we would want to reach. But in John chapter number 4, there's a woman introduced to us, a Samaritan. That Samaritan is a lady, the group of people that the Jews didn't even spend time with very often. They hated one another. But Jesus says there's something stronger than hatred. There's something stronger than a country you can't stand. There's something stronger than a group of people you don't enjoy. Look what it says in John chapter 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. So even the lady walks up, sees Jesus sitting there. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria, or go through Samaria. He travels all the way out of the way to have this one conversation with this lady. This lady is a Samaritan. He asks her for a drink. And the lady says, why are you even talking to me? Your people hate us. We hate you. Why in the world would you ask me? And look what it says in verse number 10, his response. And I love this verse. I'm sure you've heard me talk about it before. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So the woman's trying to make it about the different countries they come from, their different backgrounds, their different beliefs. And Jesus looks at her, he says, if thou knewest, look at what it says in verse number 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. He says, look, there's something bigger than our differences. There's something bigger than our different nationalities. There's something different than what you think about my people and what my people think about your people. He said, if you just knew the gift of God, if you knew what you needed, if you knew who I was and what you needed, and what are you saying here? He's a friend to all. Just as much as he loved a religious leader that was a leader of the group that was getting ready to put him on the cross in a few years, he loved this woman who had been married how many times, 4 or 5 times, and was living with another man who was a wicked sinner who was coming up during the hot part of the day because probably none of the other women wanted to spend any time with her. And she goes and tells her group, and her group says, hey, come meet a man that tells me all the things I ever done. Isn't this the Christ or isn't this the Messiah? And their whole little town comes out. Now the disciples come and they see him talking to her and they're wondering, why in the world would he talk to her? Why in the world would he care about a Samaritan? So I want you to get this thought that Jesus is a friend to all. He's a friend like no other because he's a friend to everyone. Now go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, he is introduced to another group of people that most people would stay right away from. Matthew chapter number 9, there's a story about Matthew himself becoming a follower of Jesus, but then they have a party or they eat together, and people make the accusation that Jesus is eating with sinners. Look what it says in Matthew chapter number 9. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom. So Matthew's known for being a tax collector. He was probably someone that would be sitting in a booth and would collect the taxes from the people as they're passing through. And he saith unto him, follow me. Now there's a little bit of mystery here because we don't know the interaction beforehand, but Jesus turns around and says to Matthew, who must have known who he was, says, follow me. And it says that Matthew, and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? Once again, he is a friend to all. He came because people were sinners. Now, the Pharisees didn't realize that they were sinners also, but they're looking at him saying, why in the world are you dealing with those publicans? Why in the world are you dealing with a tax collector that probably steals money? Why in the world would you care about them? It's because he's a friend to all. Keep on going and see what the Bible says here. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn. Now, go ye and learn what? What do they need to learn? What do the Pharisees need to learn? That meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I love that verse. It's the idea. He's saying, look, you need to learn something about me. I'm interested in calling people. He says, you need to learn. I'm going to have mercy. You give all these sacrifices. You do all these things for show. But I'm interested in showing mercy to these people. The reason why I'm sitting with the publicans and the reason why I'm sitting with the sinners is because they know they have a need. They know that they're sick. They know that they need a Savior. You're lost and you don't have any hope right now because of the fact you have not seen it. And it's amazing. He is a friend to all. He was a friend to the religious leader. He is friend to the woman at the well, to the publicans and the sinners. Go ahead and take your Bible now to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, he's invited to a Pharisee's house. And most people will think, oh, wow, he's moving up in the world. But in all reality, he's probably more moving down in the world. The meal might be a little bit nicer, but the company is probably not going to be as good because they're there and he invites him there. And while it happens, you see that Jesus isn't really treated the right way. Luke chapter number 7, look what it says in verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So Jesus goes. He wants to be a friend to the Pharisee. Verse number 37, and behold, a woman in this city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. I mean, this woman is worshiping the Lord. Now look at the response of him in verse number 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I read that and I'm thinking, that man sitting there, he's judging Jesus for caring about this woman. He says, if that guy was really who he said he is, if that guy was really a prophet or really the Messiah, he would let that woman come nowhere near him. But in all reality, because he is the Messiah, he gladly receives the woman. And it says it later on, the reason why he receives her. And it says down here, and he goes through a little bit of a parable. We're not going to spend a lot of time with it. But look what it says in verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see thou this woman? I entered to thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, which was just a normal tradition, a normal thing that you would do for any guest. But they didn't treat Jesus properly. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I see this story. This is a woman who would be an outcast to the Pharisees, probably an outcast in the city, known of being this great sinner. And they're looking and saying, Jesus would have nothing to do with this woman, but anyone, and I mean anyone who's willing to come to him, anyone who sees himself as a sinner and realizes who Jesus is and what Jesus did for him, Jesus is going to accept him. And he is a friend to all. Even though the Pharisee says, I can't believe he's allowing that woman anywhere near him. He wouldn't be anywhere around that woman if he knew who she was. He knew who she was. And that's why I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who it is that you meet. It doesn't matter who you come across. It doesn't matter. Jesus is a friend to all. The question is, are we? there's still a lot of great stories. We probably won't get through all the ones, but there's another one I want you at least take a look at. Go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, another guy who nobody wanted to be around, but it seems as if, just like Jesus went out of his way to see the woman at the well at Samaria, it seems as if Jesus goes out of his way to go to the place of in Gadara. He's there, and as he goes out of his way just to reach one man. You say, how do you know it's just one man? It's because they make him leave afterwards. Most of you will know the story about the maniac of Gadara. It says in chapter number 5, and they came, Mark chapter number 5, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, how many of us would be inviting that guy to church? We wouldn't even want to go anywhere near that guy. He's pulling out the chains. He's crying out at night. He's cutting himself with stones. And there's people out there today cut themselves. It's a sad thing, but it really happens. And there are people out there today who Jesus is a friend to all, that Jesus is willing to save. And I see this man, I hear his story, and I'm thinking, nobody wanted anything to do with him. He was out in the tombs crying out at night, but he met Jesus and it made a difference. Let's keep on going. Let's go to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, just a few chapters over. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. God used this story to help for me to answer the call, or at least own up to the call that God had on my life as blind Bartimaeus. And in this story, there was a man that says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So what is the story? He's there, he's a blind man, he's crying out to the Lord. Jesus cares about him. The crowd looks at him and says, and he tells him to shut up. We don't want to have, Jesus is too busy for you. Why are you crying out? You're annoying us. There's no way someone like Jesus is going to care for you. And they miss the whole point. He's a friend to all. He's a friend of Bartimaeus. He goes and he heals Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus has a great story, I think, this coming Saturday. I think I'm going to tell the story. The great thing about having younger kids or kids growing up older, you get to tell them the great stories that you love, and they haven't heard you tell them before. But the blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting there crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it says the crowd kind of says, he don't have anything to do with you. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't understand that Jesus was a friend to all, that Jesus loved the blind man. Jesus cared about the blind man. Everybody else looked down on him. Everybody else felt pity for him. Everybody else didn't want to have anything to do with him. But they said, hey, just be quiet. What we should have been doing, they should have said, look, this guy's blind. We're healthy. We can see. We can hear. Jesus is coming. Let's take this guy and let's guide him to Jesus. Let's bring him to Jesus. But no one said, they're saying, hey, be quiet. He's not interested in you. He is. And when you pass by people that you don't, maybe just that you pity and that you don't think that they really matter, they don't count for much, Jesus is a friend to him too. And whether it's a blind person or a lame person or a person that maybe you wouldn't be comfortable being around, I don't know what it is, but Jesus is a friend to all. We have some more, but I think for sake of time, I think you get the picture. There was a Syrophoenician woman who was willing to seek after Jesus that the disciples said, what? Send her away, Jesus. She's out there. She's crying and she's annoying us. We don't have time for someone like that. But what does Jesus do? He heals her daughter. What do the disciples say about those that came, multitudes that came, and Jesus wanted to feed them? The disciples come up to him and said, hey, Jesus, let's send them home. We don't got enough food here anyway. It's getting to be dark, and they're going to need to eat something. And Jesus looked at them and says, you feed them. And they're like, what? Why is that? It's because he's a friend. When he saw the multitudes, actually, let's go ahead and take your Bible to Matthew chapter number 9. This will be the last example of how he loves everyone. In Matthew chapter number 9, it's a story that he sees the multitudes, and as most people, when they see the multitudes, they get overwhelmed, but he sees the multitudes and sees them differently. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I love verse 36. I'm not a guy who really likes crowds. Lots of people. That doesn't bother me, but at the same time, I remember reading these verses. Black Friday shopping has changed over the years, but I remember being a part of these Black Friday crowds that had thousands of people out in front of certain stores just waiting to get their $5 off coupon or $10 off coupon or the great deal. And I remember that you see all the traffic, you see all the people, you see all the things, and you're like, ugh, I hate crowds. When Jesus saw the crowd, he looked at them and he's like, he had compassion on them. What do you do when you see a large group of people? Yesterday, I went to watch some of the girls play on a volleyball team. They were playing for a state tournament, and their team won. I went to go park, and there was like no parking. It was crazy. You go into the gym, and it's like it's pretty packed. And so what do you do when you see crowds? Do you look at people and look at it and say, you know what, inside the crowd, hundreds of thousands of people, I wonder how many of them know Christ. You know, that Jesus is a friend to every single one of them. He loves each and one of them. Or do we get mad and yell at the people that take our parking spot? And I get it. Being around people, especially when people don't have any common sense or common courtesy, it can become frustrating. But every single person we pass, Jesus is a friend like no other, because he's a friend to all. Whether it's someone that you feel comfortable talking to or someone you feel uncomfortable talking to. I hear lots of people talk about, well, I like going to the lower income areas because they know they have a need and they want to reach, you know they need something and they're reaching for Jesus. And I get what they're saying, that they're easier to talk to. And sometimes when you go to a neighborhood that is more ritzy and more bigger houses and they're rich, they don't think they have any needs. But, you know, Jesus is a friend to both of them. The people that you might not feel comfortable with, like maybe talking to a Muslim. And can you imagine going up to somebody that has a scarf wrapped around their head and talking to them about the truth? But they're a friend. Jesus is willing to be a friend to them. The person that's Gothic, you know, that has the different dress and the different markings and things like that. Lots of times people are a little uncomfortable. People like me, that's been in church all my life, I don't always know what to say. You know what? God loves them. And they need a friend like Jesus. The person at work you can't stand, the person at work you like, they all need Jesus. Whether you're in the other part of the world or whether you're across the street, Jesus is a friend to all. Second point is, because he loves everyone. Second thing is, because everyone needs his help. Go back to John chapter 3. You might still be there, but in John chapter 3, it shows us why everyone needs his help. The reason why Jesus is a friend to all is because he loves everyone and because everyone needs his help. In John chapter number 3, you see the verse that says in verse number 16, we'll just go ahead and read all three verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means that they are perishing, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send him there to say, I have seen how the world is. You are condemned now and you need a Savior. That's not what happened. He was sent into this world, as it says, that the world through him might be saved. And the reason why they need the help is found in verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what the scripture is saying here is that all mankind is condemned. Every person you pass by is headed to one of two places, either heaven or hell. And if they have not accepted Jesus Christ, if not believed, as it says there, believed on Jesus Christ, they're headed to that horrible place called hell. They're condemned. I know sometimes when I pass out some type of track or information, some people look at me and they use these terminology and says, I'm good. And I feel like looking at them and saying, well, you're not really good because the Bible says all men are sinners, but I don't want to be rude or sarcastic with them. At the same time, I say, I know that people think that they're good, but when it comes to eternal destinies, we're not good unless we have Jesus Christ. People say, I'm good. They don't understand that they have a need. They are condemned already. I was talking to somebody this week about how a person gets saved and how a person goes to heaven. And I used the example, and they thought that good works is what was going to get them there. And they have the, I remember somebody talking to me about having, when they get up to heaven, they're going to be judged before God, and they're going to put all the good stuff on one side and all the bad stuff on one side. And if all the good stuff outweighs all the bad stuff, they get to go to heaven. And I said, that's not found anywhere in the Bible. It's just not there. You know what the Bible says? It says that you're condemned already. That you already, it's already been decided. It's already happened. The world is living under this condemnation. This world is living under a sin curse. And that each person that enters into this world enters in with a sin nature. And they're headed to a horrible place called hell. The only thing that can take them off that place, off that route, is by letting Jesus Christ pull them off that place. It's take him off that road. Everyone needs his help. He's a friend to all because, number one, he loves everyone, but also everyone is in need of his help. And the third thing is he's willing to help everyone that comes to him. I love verse number 16, and I love the word whosoever in it. You know what that means? It means even you. Whosoever. Whosoever. And that's why, and I was talking to an individual this week and even talked to somebody else about it this week too, and said, whosoever means whoever calls upon him. And in John 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when I was talking to the individual, I said to him, I said, that means if you will call out to God and ask him to save you, you know what he will do? He will. First time this guy's, I think, ever heard anything really truly about the truth. And as I was going through it, took it all the way back from creation, all the way to someday you're going to be stand before God in judgment. This is what the Bible says. This is what truth is. He was concerned with all the crazy things around the world that was happening and didn't know what to do or what was going to happen. I says, I can't fix the world. I says, there ain't nobody's going to fix the world except for Jesus when he comes back someday. I didn't go through all that, but I says, the world's got its problems. I says, but you can see what the Bible says that you need to do. The Bible says that you need to believe in Jesus Christ. And I went back and explained to him why you need to believe. And I went through the whole stuff. And he soaked it in. He listened quite a long time. And I told him, gave him some more information. He's got the number. And I said, if this is something you want to do, I says, call on to the Lord. He can save you. And I encouraged him that day. And I gave him a lot to think about. And I could tell he was thinking about it. He wasn't ready. And that's so he didn't say, well, can I pray now? Or he didn't say those things. But I showed him and told him what his need was. You know what? If that guy goes to God and says, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again, and that he's my only way to heaven, he's going to save him. The amazing thing is, whoever comes to him, he will save. That's why he's a friend to all. It's not just the sum. He looks at that woman that the Pharisee looked at and says, I wouldn't let that woman anywhere near me. And he looks at her and says, her sins are forgiven. She loved much. She believes in me. Your sins, they're not forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. That dirty sinner woman came to Christ and he said, okay, yes. And the amazing thing is, Nicodemus got right, I believe, if you look later on in the Bible. And the woman at the well, I believe, got it right. The maniac of Gadara, you can tell by the fact he went out and began to witness, he got it right. The blind Bartimaeus got it right. And, there's anyone who comes to him. He doesn't say, go and then you'll decide. Jesus will decide whether or not he'll accept you. That's why he's a friend to all. It's not because of the fact that there's a chance he might accept you. He's promised you that if you come, it says, and that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It says in John 6:37 that if they come to him, and I don't care who it is, I don't care how old or how young, I don't care what they look like, what color they are, what nationality they are, whether you feel comfortable talking to them or not, they'll come to him. He's a friend that will come, take anyone, that will help anyone that comes to him. So why is Jesus a friend better than any other friends? It's because he can do all things. He's a friend you can trust. And he is a friend to all. So how do we apply that to our life? Well, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus loves us and that he cares about all of us. And we don't serve a God that picks and chooses who he cares about. But then we ask the question, what type of friend am I? Am I a friend to all? Now, I'm not talking about the close personal friendship that you use to build your Christianity and things like that. I'm talking about, are you a friend to all, and the fact that you're willing to be kind and do what God's called you to do to reach out to the world. The only way you're going to be a friend of sinners like Jesus was is to spend time with them, share a meal with them, discuss things with them, have conversations with people. The only time you're going to be able to reach someone is if you're able to be willing to reach out to them. I've been in churches like ours my entire life. And I look down that list. I think about Nicodemus. He probably feels pretty comfortable here. I think about the woman at the well. I think about the publicans and the sinners. That woman who loved much and was a really bad sinner, the maniac of Gadara. I wonder how comfortable they would feel in churches like ours. It shouldn't be that way. We should be willing to reach out and help anybody. A church is supposed to be like a hospital where sick people get help. But sometimes if they kind of mess things up a little bit, we want to run them out the door because they're still sick. It's not supposed to be that way. Now, I'm not saying we put up with sin. I'm saying we love people the way Jesus did, that we want to be a friend to people like Jesus did. And I'm saying that not only when just the people come in, we shouldn't be scared and worried. Instead, we should embrace and be kind and be friendly and want to provoke one another to good works. We should consider one another, and we should do what we can to reach out. And I'm not saying put ourselves in unsafe circumstances, but I'm saying we should be a friend to all. But how much of a friend are we when we don't even tell the people that we like about Jesus, much less the people we don't even know? I mean, we're told to go into all the world. We're told to preach the gospel to every creature. And there are some people out there that look like they're creatures. And some people probably think I look like a creature. I don't know. But at the same time, we've been given the commission. He gives us an example. We want to be like him. But there are different people that we feel uncomfortable talking to. There's different people in this world that I feel uncomfortable talking to. When certain people come to the door and they look a certain way, I'm thinking, okay, I'm at their house, but I don't feel as comfortable talking to this age group or this ethnic group or this or that or this false religion group, whatever it is. Jesus is a friend to all. And you saw it over and over and over in the Bible. There's much more in the list. There's the impotent man by the pool. And Jesus says, "Will thou be made whole?" And he's like, "I have no man." He says, "I have no one who cares for my soul. There's no one that's willing to stop and put me in the water when times comes." He says, "Nobody cares for me like that." And there is a friend that cares for everybody, and that's Jesus. There's no one else that cares like him. And that's why we need to tell the world about a friend that cares for all. So, this morning, I pray that you realize, man, Jesus is better. He is better than all of us, better than me, and I want to be like him. There's something that God's been working on my heart for the last, a few weeks ago when we were on Sunday in Psalms 119, and it talked about how David asked about, "Lord, help me to understand your ways." And then he said, "I'm going to go tell the world if I understand them." And I've been trying to ask myself this question, is what is God's heart when it comes to the world? Not my heart, not the things I can pull up, not the things I've been taught, not the traditions I have from my background or where I grew up or my financial status. What is God's heart when it comes to individuals? And it's love. It is. And that's what, and I think that's what we need to seek after, is God's heart. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That I have the mind of Christ when it comes to people. And he didn't cast anybody out. You say, well, he cast those money changers out. Well, they were doing something wrong. But he still loved them. He was a friend to them. He said, how do you know? Judas was betraying him. And he called him friend. I think Judas at that moment could have repented and got right. And Jesus still would have went to the cross. But Judas could have, I think Judas could have been right with God. But he didn't. What is God's heart when it comes to the world? He loves it. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And he uses me and you to reach out to the people. But how are we going to reach out when we don't try? How are we going to reach a world that we never touch? I want to encourage you today. He is a friend to all. We want to be like him. So we should be a friend to all also. Let's pray.